right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, I'm really excited about this one because this movie, Francis Ferguson, kind of just came out of nowhere, and it is probably my favorite movie I've seen this year. There's a little mix-up. We'll get into it in the conversation about whether this qualifies as a 2020 release or a 2019 release. It came out at film festivals last year, apparently hit Amazon, but there was nothing. It just appeared and disappeared and is now listed as a 2020 release on Amazon. So I'm considering it a 2020 release. It's at the top of my 2020 movies list, but I mean, I don't know. Who knows what you can really call it, but it's a weird movie. It's written and directed by Bob Byington, and it stars Kaylee Willis, and it's about a woman who has an affair with her student, and it's just this really, really, really pitch black dark comedy, and I loved it. And I am really hopeful that more people check it out. If you haven't seen it yet, you should pause this and go watch it before taking a listen to our conversation. Of course, as always, we get into spoilers before we, or as we get into some of these puzzle pieces. So definitely go check it out. It is available on Amazon Prime, so go rent it there. And also, before you get into the conversation, why not make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice? You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. We'd love it if you did those things. So let's get into it. I love this movie, and I'm really excited to talk about it. Joining me is Chad Clinton Freeman. All right, so back on the show with us today, we've got Chad Clinton Freeman. How's it going, Chad?
Oh, thank you. I am doing good. I'm glad to be back on the show.
Yeah.
Especially, this should be a pretty fun episode, I think.
I think so, too. I've been looking forward to this. I did want to try to rewatch it in time for this conversation because this really is my favorite movie I've seen this year so far. It's just fantastic. The movie's Francis Ferguson, of course. And where did you find out about this one? Because you saw it first before me, right?
I was whenever new stuff available on Prime Video, on Hulu, on wherever, I'm always just looking for new and interesting titles, and I just happened to stumble across it on Amazon, and it was like a 99-cent rental, and I'm like, what is this? And then I played the trailer, and I was like, hey, this looks pretty good. So
yeah,
I watched it. I ended up buying it, and yeah, so I rewatched it last night since we were in this episode. But yeah, no, it really is a fantastic movie. It's not a movie for everybody. It is a weird kind of movie.
Definitely.
A very dark comedy, but yeah, it is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that whole thing about it just showing up on Amazon, I mean, I definitely do want to, you know, talk briefly about that before we get into puzzle pieces. The fact that, you know, this movie, it premiered at South by Southwest 2019, got generally good reviews except for from people who thought it shouldn't be a movie because of subject matter, which for those of you who haven't watched it yet, it is about a woman who has an affair with one of her students. She's a teacher, and she has an affair with one of her students.
A substitute teacher,
absolutely. and the movie isn't interested in exactly judging her for it. You know, it's really open for you to make your interpretation of her, but it follows her, and she is our protagonist through this movie. And a lot of people were very offended by the fact that she's not just immediately, you know, a villain or anything like that. And so this movie apparently then came out in November of 2019, but Amazon lists it as a 2020 release. I found no coverage of it coming out in November. I found one blog that mentioned it as being a movie on Amazon in November, and that was it. Otherwise, all the reviews are from those initial film festival screenings earlier in 2019, and there's no mention of it coming out in 2020. There's no mention of it coming out in November of 2019. So this is a weird release.
Yeah,
I almost
no, definitely.
It, it's almost like a missing pieces, you know, it could be, but at the same time, it's, you know, it is kind of a new release too at the same time. And so, yeah, I thought we should get that out of the way ahead of time, just how strange the release of this movie has been. And I have tried to look for any kind of confirmation on what exactly happened. I told you my theory of this movie kind of getting buried because of the subject matter. But then at the same time, I also wonder, because I know this director, a lot of his movies are, you know, kind of like weird, not for everyone kind of movies. You know, maybe this is just par for the course for a movie like this.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that I was trying to figure out too if it was just released by the filmmaker, or if it actually did get released, because it's not on any other form. Like, it's not on Vudu, it's not anywhere else. It's just on Prime Video. So yeah. I'm not even really sure. But yeah, I'm not real familiar with his other movies, but from what I understand, yeah, he's a very strange director, and his movies do seem to just kind of disappear after they do their festival run. So
yeah,
I don't know.
So yeah, I'm interested to check out some of his other work after we do this. But why don't we jump into some puzzle pieces for Francis Ferguson? What do you got for your first one?
Well, the first one for me, what I think kind of sums it up, there's some easy ones we could get into right off the bat, but I just wanted to go into this one because it is one of my favorite movies, and that's Observe and Report. The humor of this movie, and it's more, I would say even more dry and even darker than Observe and Report is, but I think in a lot of ways it's very much a similar film, because you've got a serious subject matter, and somehow it is just a very fun and funny film, even though you've got this really, it's almost kind of sad in a way, but at the same time, it's not, because of the way the film is handled, the way the way it's written, and the way the director chose to present this film.
This movie is all about tone.
Tone, exactly. So I would say for me, Observe and Report is the most like that I could think of as far as tone, even down to, though, also the way you meet. It's not just the main character or anything. It's every character. There's something weird, something odd, something off. I mean, every character is this way. I would say this one is not as silly as Observe and Report. There are a lot of silly characters to Observe and Report, and very much a lot of characters that are intended to just be quirky to be quirky. I would say with this one, it's going more for grounded in reality, but still there's just that weird oddness to it overall that reminds me a lot of that film.
It's almost like too real in a way, like where it's like this is so like anti-cinematic in a way, and that leads to some really unique comedy, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, but I think that's a great first puzzle piece. And my first puzzle piece, I think, kind of goes along with that really well with your first one, and that is the Richard Linklater film Bernie with Jack Black, Also, it's got a very weird tone to it, very like everybody is kind of a little bit off in it. And part of that is due to the non-actors that he was using in that movie. But, in that movie, we also are centered around a main character who, did this crime.
Right.
And yet we still kind of like them, even though they're not really, a good person necessarily. Right. And, the things that they did are things that should be, they're not good things, but we're still kind of along for the ride, and we still kind of, are willing to go along with this person. And then also just like the strange small town setting and all the odd people around that town that are reacting to what this person did. And so I think Observe and Report and Bernie, just to kick this thing off, are two, really good pieces that really kind of set the tone for this thing.
Yeah, no, Bernie was one that, yeah, I didn't even think of that one, but yeah, definitely along the same lines. And that's a fantastic movie as well.
Yeah.
I forgot actually that was a Linklater movie.
Yeah.
It's so different from
It
most of
totally
his
is.
stuff.
His
But
recent
yeah.
stuff is like all over the place. Like, I mean, Last Flag Flying was, I thought, a great movie, but it was like a straight up just drama. And then you get like weird stuff like Boyhood. I mean, it's just all over the place with
Right.
him, you know?
Yeah, so we're talking about the main character and how they're basically not a good person, but somehow you are along with them. And
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Kaylee Wheeless, I think is her name.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
this is actually her first film that she's ever been in. I rewatching it, I was trying to pinpoint what it was exactly that makes her such a likable character, because I've got a puzzle piece here that I was going to bring up. It's one of the easy ones. And the main character in it, I feel, is very similar, but I don't like her. And that is the Netflix show Orange is the New Black.
Sure.
I feel like that there's a lot of similarities with Orange is the New Black, is that basically you've got somebody who hasn't really lived life. They're young, they're pretty, and then they are kind of bored and they get wrapped up in things that they shouldn't, just because I almost feel like that they're bored. And then they both end up going, to prison for their crimes. And so I think in a lot of ways this is influenced by Orange is the New Black, but at the same time, I don't like Piper on Orange is the New Black. I cannot
Sure.
stand Piper. I don't know
Yeah.
what it is that this character, Frances, I do like. And I was just looking at her traits and trying to jot down some of the things about her. I know this though. She is a narcissist like Piper, but she's very, very, very immature and childish and like dramatic and passive aggressive. And generally most of those traits would be things that you would not like about a person, but somehow she's able to pull it off and make it very, very fun to watch. I mean, for me, this movie, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, that's it, it's over. And the second time when I watched it, I was like, it goes by so fast. It's such a quick movie. It's so fun. But I can't put my finger on what it is that makes her likable. But yeah, she is a pretty terrible person. She doesn't give a crap about her daughter, and she's had everything given to her, but somehow I'm on board with her. I don't know what it is.
And I'm not sure what it is either, because I agree with you about this whole puzzle piece and the not liking Piper, and but I think part of it might be the fact that she, meaning the character in this movie, Frances, is kind of making these choices for herself, even if they're not good choices. It's like it's what she wants to do in the moment. She wants to kind of throw it all away,
Right,
and just and go on this kind of downward spiral, which is a great setup for my next puzzle piece. There's a joke that was going around Twitter recently that Midsommar is just Fight Club for girls.
Nah.
And I think this, in a way, is like a Fight Club for girls, because the idea of just kind of just throwing it all away to like really like refine your life is, what's going on with this Frances character, in a way. I mean, she's really just making all of these decisions to make her way to the bottom because she is sick of her life and not getting anything out of it, even though she has a seemingly, nice life. It's not the best or anything. Her husband kind of sucks, and she doesn't seem to really
Her mom does, but I
yeah, her
mean,
mom and
but she doesn't focus on any of the good that they have to
right, and
offer.
because she clearly just doesn't enjoy it, you know? And so she made this decision to just go to the bottom so she could start back up again. And, you know, we don't know if that's going to work for her. And it's certainly not, you know, in any kind of traditional sense, a smart move. Right. But I mean, maybe it'll work for her. We don't really know in the ending. We you know, by the end, it's possible that things could get a little better for her. It's possible not. But she made a choice to really like go for that. And so I think the, you know, one of the many themes of Fight Club, which I know is a movie that you famously haven't seen, is that, you know, going for the bottom to really, you know, live life.
Well, and the thing is that makes sense to me here, because, I think that is what does make this character in this movie enjoyable, is that, yeah, she gives in to basically burning her life down mm-hmm. and starting over. I think Piper is clinging to her past life.
Yes.
And it's almost like she feels she is owed something. I don't think this character feels she is owed. She's not entitled, I think.
Right.
And I think that maybe that makes it enjoyable, that she is just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, yeah.
Totally.
So I mean, Fight Club, maybe during this quarantine I can watch Fight Club, because I've got no reason not to watch Fight Club. Truthfully, I just haven't ever done it.
It's about damn time. All right, what do you got for your next piece?
Well, we were talking about some of this early on. We might as well get into it, but Gus Van Sant movie, which I think this is the second episode in a row where I've mentioned one of his movies, mm-hmm. To Die For.
Yes.
Which to Die For is the total opposite of this movie, because it's still kind of a dark humor kind of film, but mostly serious. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, about a teacher that has sex with a student and gets the student to, you know, kill her husband. So it does go a little bit darker. But I would say the reaction to that, because we're many, many years removed from that movie, and things have changed in a lot of ways with the Me Too movement and all that. But
sure.
I would say what we were talking about early on about as far as how this movie kind of just disappeared and it's just kind of there and nobody knows about it. I think to Die For was kind of like the big breakout movie for Gus Van Sant. That was the movie that kind of put him on the map. He was
sure.
a weird kind of indie filmmaker, and then all of a sudden that was the one that got people talking about him. And I would say, though, looking at the time of release has a big point to do with that, and I think it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with this film, as far as like this film, as we were talking about it being kind of hidden and everything like that.
Sure.
I think it's just timing. I did watch To Die For not too long ago. I think in the last year I rewatched it. It is a great movie. It holds up. You know, Joaquin Phoenix. I think that was his first role, even.
That might have been.
Yeah, I think it was. Nicole Kidman, fantastic as the teacher. It's totally different because, again, that one's more about the actions and the crimes, whereas this
sure.
one is just a character look at this, you know, strange person and following her through these events.
Yeah.
But as far as anytime you talk about a movie where there's a teacher and they're, you know, having sex with one of the students, To Die For, you've got to bring into the conversation. So
totally.
That was one that I immediately had on the list that I was like, okay, I've got to bring it up.
Yeah, it was on my list too, and great movie, and yeah, definitely. I mean, that, you know, dealing with that kind of situation, which is something that we see, you know, all the freaking time now. And it, you know, this movie could have gone a totally different way.
Right.
I mean, in a different kind of a director could have, you know, played this for laughs, and then maybe people would have gotten even more mad, like big, you know, broad laughs, you know, but yeah, but the tone that he sets though is definitely a different kind of thing. So I'll go to my next piece, which is a combination of the television shows Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. But both of those, of course, are, you know, about this main character who is Breaking Bad, you know, making their way to that life. And in this movie, Frances Ferguson, we see her go from this person who's not quite, you know, happy in their life to someone who is, you know, who does, you know, makes the decision to, you know, go through with, you know, turning her life into something that is less than desirable, let's just say. And you know, what the fallout is of that decision and where that leads them. And, you know, we don't go too far into the future. We don't know, you know, what's going to really happen to her in the long term, but we do get to see at least the short term results of those decisions. And then also just to kind of add in, you know, the, just that kind of tone that we've been talking about, there is a lot of that, like, you know, oddness to those shows, to like the townsfolk and all that stuff in Albuquerque and all. It's got a very similar kind of small town setting.
Yeah, no, Breaking Bad, it's in a lot of ways kind of the male version of Orange is the New Black in some ways. Again, I cannot, you bring up Breaking Bad, Walter White. He is the character that I despise the most out of all cinema, out of all TV shows. Okay. That is one character that I do not like whatsoever. So again, though, that is the another thing that points to how great though this character in this film is, that I can actually get on her side, because Tony Soprano, he's another narcissist, another character that I despise, and Walter White, though, he is my number one, like, cannot stand that character whatsoever. But yeah, no, Breaking Bad is a good one, because basically he does the same sort of thing. He knows he's on his way out, so he's just like, you know, basically, let's burn it down, and I'm gonna, you know, help my family in the process of doing it. So but yeah,
absolutely.
He even has better motive, I would say, but somehow somehow I like him less. I mean, we don't really have a motive with Frances, and she even addresses that in the movie, that, you know, like,
yeah,
there isn't really any motivation.
Nope.
But
all right, what do you got next?
Well, it's funny, because we're on the series like this episode, like, I think for the most part I don't even mention you know, TV shows that much. We've already mentioned Orange is the New Black, and now Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul I've never watched, so I'm not
so good, man. So
sure
good.
How I would react to that one. But I got another Netflix, and again, this is weird. This will be my next two Netflix pieces in an episode as well. Haters Back Off, the series, which is absolutely fantastic. Have you ever watched that?
I haven't, no.
Oh, okay. So you've got to watch Haters Back Off. Miranda Sings, which she was a YouTube sensation. She's basically a horrible, horrible singer, but plays as if she is the world's greatest singer. And the Haters Back Off is this, her and her uncle, which her uncle is, I can't think of his name, but the weird guy off of Eastbound and Down, Kenny Powers' buddy.
Oh, Steve Little?
Yes. That's her uncle, and he's going to make her a star. And anyway, though, the humor of that show, though, is people either absolutely love it, like me, my brother, he loves it too, or people just cannot stand it, and they can't even watch it, because it's just like, the humor is just so weird on it. It's so fantastic, but the oddballness of it, and the absurdness of Haters Back Off, Just that tone and that humor reminded me of Francis Ferguson. And again, the weird characters, how every single person in here is like a weird character, you know, down to, you know, her dentist, who is some sort of like weird sexual predator, and, you know, all of her counselors are just like totally just bizarre people.
I actually forgot about the dentist until right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, just so Haters Back Off, definitely recommend it. It's a very funny, very weird, series. Kind of in the same vein of as far as the humor. It's more silly and out there, more observant report. These kind of films, though, and these kind of TV shows, that's the stuff that I really get into as far as comedy. When I say for comedy, sure, that's what I look for, is the dark, weird, and absurd.
Nice. Love it. Yeah, I was almost going to put Strangers with Candy as a puzzle piece.
Yeah, but, no.
Because it is just so dark and weird and just,
you know. No, that one works too. That it does.
Well, instead of Strangers with Candy, although I guess I'll just throw it on the list because why not? But another TV show that I was going to use as another puzzle piece, the MTV animated series Daria.
Nice.
Which, you know, just this character who's just completely just unimpressed by everything around her.
And nice. Yes. No, no, that's a great one. That is
nice. Yeah. I haven't watched an episode of Daria since like forever, but I mean, just, you know, that kind of archetype of character is just, you've seen it in a lot of movies before too, you know?
Well, what's so funny about that is I didn't even think about her. I actually had Beavis and Butthead down on the list, though. The reason I had Beavis and Butthead was the group therapy counselor. That guy.
Oh, nice.
He reminded me of the guy on Beavis and Butthead, the teacher, the very passive liberal who... Nothing is ever wrong that anybody says, and it's just like he doesn't really ever take control of the situation. He lets things kind of get out of hand, and he's just kind of like now. You know, and that character, I can't even think of his name, but he was kind of like the inspiration for the Mackie character on South Park.
Right, because
he would say okay from time to time, and then, of course they took that with South Park, you know, completely to like every sentence. But I didn't even think of Daria. Daria is great, and like I said, Beavis and Butthead, just I think the more I think about it, not just that one character, but just in general, the way like there's the warden when she talks to him, and there's all of these characters. Everybody in here is really, really just passive, and she just kind of nothing phases her. Nobody phases her. No matter whatever they say, that doesn't phase her, and none of these people actually take control of any of the situations. It's very much like chaos. Like the group meetings are some of my favorite parts, where things go off in one direction and he's like, no, yeah, no. But it just kind of continues on. There's the guy who is talking about the mommy issues, and everybody cringes, and he always goes back to this, and he just like, no matter what though, things just kind of keep spiraling, you know, downward, and he doesn't do anything. He's just like, no. And even if it's something he agrees with, he's like, yeah, but I don't know. There's something about that guy. I like that guy though. There was something about him. Everybody in this movie reminds me though of somebody else in that regard. It's almost like these are caricatures of other famous people, and then they're given even other qualities. So
sure, yeah, for sure, yeah. You know, just to go back to the whole group therapy thing, because those are some of the funniest scenes in the movie for sure. That was kind of a puzzle piece that I was trying to like come up with, like what are some really great funny group therapy scenes. And the one that I could kind of remember was Patch Adams, that the therapy scene in that with the whole group, and Robin Williams gets them all going with jokes and stuff. That was the one that I could kind of think of, but I know there's been some other like really good ones. But I think the scene that made me want to watch the movie when I watched the trailer is just, you know, that moment when the girl just totally outs her in the middle of
right.
therapy.
It's so like, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Freaking funny.
Yeah, there are so many actually just great, like it should be like uncomfortable like moments, but they're just so funny.
I know.
Almost like a Todd Solondz movie in a way.
Sure.
Which I couldn't decide if I was leaning toward the movie Happiness or the movie Welcome to the Dollhouse for mm-hmm. a puzzle piece. But I definitely got some Todd Solondz vibes with this film all the way, especially, I guess Happiness would probably be the better one. Mm-hmm. And that one, you've got the pedophilia stuff going on, which is definitely, like I said, you've got the dentist with his weird, you know, who knows? He just makes some weird off comment about me and you got something similar. We've got something in common. He's just like, what's that? And he's like, oh, and then it's just like, what? You know, I mean, and then she later mentions that nobody will hire her except for the pedophile that runs the pharmacy. And it's just, these terrible things that nobody jokes about except for someone yeah. like Todd Solondz and this movie. So
there you go. Absolutely. Well, I only got one more piece. So I've used this before on similar on movies that use this kind of device similarly. But that's the Royal Tenenbaums, but really could go for a lot of Wes Anderson movies, but just movies that use the narrator as its own, not just as a narrator, but as a device for a lot of humor as well, and a lot of just kind of, you know, ridiculous little bits and right. moments throughout. And what's his name? Nick Offerman,
yeah.
you know, does a great job as this narrator. And this one, he's kind of like, he doesn't necessarily know everything that he's kind of telling you, the audience. And it really just leads to some really great, you know, it's a great device, really.
Yeah, and the way the humor with him, I love that that the narration is the same tone as the movie and the characters. Like it's
yeah.
just another one of these weird characters. Yeah, I did love that about it. There's just like oddball moments too, like for no reason, like this guard quit later that day. And it's just like,
yeah.
that guard's just sitting there and they don't yeah. do anything in the scene or anything. It's just like,
it's just painting a very strange picture. You
right.
just get so much. You just get yeah. so many little details like that. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, so with the narration and more so than that though, the, just the way, the film opens, the way it gives you the backstory of like this town and these people, I got a feeling of The Big Short. Just the oddball, like it's almost like the person that is presenting the film, they are they're in on the joke and they're having as much fun as you are watching it, you know.
Mm.
And that was what I got from it. But yeah, no, the narration is absolutely fantastic. It really is.
Yeah, so funny. Do you have any other pieces before we wrap it up and do the finished puzzle?
Just a couple I was gonna, well, Hesher is one I was gonna throw in, because Hesher is another one that to me is a lot like Observe and Report in the humor. It's a movie I absolutely love. It's one I watch quite often. It also, Hesher, he's a character that really shouldn't be likable, but somehow he is very, very likable. Right. He's almost a Kenny Powers type character in a way. But Hesher, and then also, oh, Me and You and Everyone We Know, Miranda July movie. That was another one, because she's, I feel, kind of a, or at least in that movie, sort of a toned down version of like Todd Solondz. Fun movie, weirdness, and at the same time, though, very very human and realistic, like how we were saying is about how this one is almost too real at times.
Right.
But no, other than that, I think that was the only ones that I had notes on. Oh, I did write down, I wrote Jody Hill, which that's Observe and Report. I wrote Todd Solondz. I did write John Waters down. I couldn't think of anything specific, but I think Polyester, because just the way how this kind of presents suburbia and the just unhappiness, I guess, that is dwelling below the surface of, you know, the everyday get up, take out the trash, you know, go to work type thing.
Sure.
And to throw another TV series in, 6 Feet Under. 6 Feet Under, the main thing was that the husband, how when she takes out the trash in the morning and the husband's over in the car jacking off. I remember there was an episode with Nate that he was doing that on 6 Feet Under. So I don't know. I guess some husbands do this. I've never done it. So
yeah,
I'm not a husband anymore, but I still haven't done it. But anyway, so I think we broke the record for the most TV shows in an episode here.
Yeah, but, a lot of TV shows in this one. Yeah, we'll read down that finished puzzle. We got Observe and Report, Bernie, Orange is the New Black, Fight Club, To Die For, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Haters Back Off, Daria, Strangers with Candy, Beavis and Butthead, Patch Adams, Happiness, and Todd Solondz films, just general feeling. The Royal Tenenbaums and Wes Anderson style narration, The Big Short, Hesher, Me and You and Everyone We Know, Polyester, and 6 Feet Under. Like you said, a lot of TV shows on here, but a lot of weird just movies with just such a strange tone of like these small towns and odd characters, kind of difficult to like, but you kind of do anyway. You know, one thought that I did want to mention was just the moment when I kind of like just really like fell in love with this movie was her internal scream thing that she does a few times.
Yes.
That was just maybe my favorite thing this year. Just so funny. Just every time she does that.
I think what made me fall in love with it was very early on. It was the scene with her, the husband, and the daughter. And she tells the husband, she said, she's four. Don't talk to her like she's one. And he says, she's three. And she says, you're three. Just like, I love this movie.
That fucking rules. And then also the fact that the daughter's named Parfait. What the hell? Oh yeah, great yeah. Movie. I hope more people see it. I don't know that they will. I think
it's
going to continue to go underseen.
Yeah, well, it is a fantastic movie. Anybody that's listening to this that hasn't, please do watch it. This isn't spoiling anything, but the scene where the mom brings her the cupcake for her birthday.
So good. That's the Oscar clap right there.
Yeah, it's the Oscar winning moment for sure.
Oh man. All right, I think that does it for this one. Have you seen any other movies recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Actually, I do have two. I was gonna recommend one of them could have been a puzzle piece, but I was like, that's the movie Family. It's Taylor Schilling, which is Piper from Orange is the New Black.
Right.
And like I said, I didn't know after watching Orange is the New Black if I just didn't like this actress or what, because I sometimes do have prejudice against actors and actresses. This film, I hadn't heard anything of it, and it just kind of popped up on streaming, so I rented it. And it's kind of like Uncle Buck meets The Office. Not The Office, but Office Space. Yeah, that's the one I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
She's an aunt. She's like a businesswoman and has no time for family, that sort of thing. And her sister has a daughter, and they need her to watch her. And the daughter is, you know, trying to discover herself. She's getting into weird things. She gets into ICP. The Taylor's character is just basically she's a good influence, but a bad influence. Because she is supposed to be picking her up from ballet, and the kid goes and is taking karate next door, and she kind of supports her doing the karate, and the parents, you know, they don't want the kid to be doing that. So anyways, fabulous movie. It's very, very funny. It's very,
I heard good things about it.
It's very dark and odd, and has that same sort of like tone as a lot of the stuff that we were talking about. Kate McKinnon's in it too. So, but then on the serious note, the movie Swallow, which is a brand new movie, just came out like a month ago, I think, on streaming. Serious movie, totally opposite of what we've been talking about. Fabulous, fabulous movie though, about a bored housewife that has pica, which is when people get this fascination with swallowing things that they should not be swallowing. You know, rocks, marbles, tacks, whatever. Haley Bennett, though, this awesome performance. This is just a powerhouse of a movie. I would say this year that Swallow and Frances Ferguson are definitely two of my favorite movies. Both of them are completely different, but both very, very amazing, like, performances by the actresses. Then they carry the movies, basically. But this one's more, you know, it does deal with mental illness and feelings of guilt and feelings of not belonging and things like that. So instead of her burning things down like Frances does, basically internalizes everything, and then she starts to swallow stuff. So very, not for everybody, I will admit, but a fantastic movie still.
Yeah, I've been thinking about watching that because I know you've been raving about it for a while now, and I've seen some other really great reviews of it. So I think I might have to watch that soon.
It's one I will be revisiting because, it's one that very, very powerful and a lot to take in. There are some cringe moments in it, definitely.
Nice. All right, Chad. Well, as always, thanks for being here on the show. I'm sure we'll be doing it again soon enough.
All right. It was great talking about this movie, and I'm ready to come back anytime.
People, go see this thing.
At your house.
Yes. Hey, I'm Josh Bell.
I'm Jason Harris. Hey, Josh, we're friends in real life, but we're also co-hosts on this new podcast called
Awesome Movie Year, where we take a look back at an awesome year for movies and do a deep dive looking at movies, including the Best Picture winner, the biggest movie at the box office, future cult classics, and more.
Including the biggest flop. And this season, we're doing 1994. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. That could be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. We're all over the web as well. Got Awesome Movie Year on all the socials and awesomemovieyear.com. So please like us, subscribe. And if you do like us, give us a 5-star rating because we love you.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Francis Ferguson. Seriously, if you haven't seen it yet, rent it. It's so good. I mean, it's probably not for everybody, but I love this movie. So that does it for today. We also this week just launched season 4 of Awesome Movie Years. So go and make sure to check that out. For season 4, they are checking out the films of 1996. And starting off with the blockbuster of 96, it's Independence Day, which is from a completely different side of movie making than a movie like Francis Ferguson, but is also another movie I love. So check that episode out. It's a fun one. And yeah, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together in your podcast app of choice, and follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. You could also subscribe to our Patreon. We've got a few advanced episodes available right now. There's the episode on Greed with Steve Coogan, really great movie from this year as well, which is going to be coming out. The movie will be hitting VOD in May, and the episode will hit when that comes out as well. We also have a couple other advanced episodes hitting the feed there too, so if you want to hear some stuff in advance, make sure to go sign up for that Patreon. I'm going to have some special music hitting that Patreon as well too soon, so definitely go check that out. And they are still doing a promotion over at Podchaser, where they will donate 25 cents to Meals on Wheels for every review left on the site. So if you go on there and look for Piecing It Together and leave us a nice review, which we love your reviews, we always want to hear what you're thinking of the show, but if you go on there, leave us a review, you will in turn be donating 25 cents without anything that you have to do except for letting us know what you like, how you like the show. So go leave a review and you'll be donating 25 cents to Meals on Wheels from Podchaser. So you should do that. And then if I reply to you, I think they give another 5 cents or 10 cents, something like that. So I will reply. I'll tell you how much I love your review. And then we'll be donating even more money to Meals on Wheels in this crazy time where organizations like that do need all the support they could get. So go ahead, do it. All right, let's leave you guys with a piece of music today. And I think I'm going to go with something from the most recent release. That is Beater, original motion picture soundtrack. This album came out last month. It is a compilation of music from films that I have scored. And let's see, what should I play from this one? Honestly, I am starting to forget which tracks I've already played, but I will play, how about the track One Way Out? I'm going to play this piece of music from the Beater original motion picture soundtrack. This was the end credits music from a film called One Way Out, a short film. So I think this one will fit pretty well. So let's leave you with One Way Out, and we will be back with more Piecing It Together coming up next week. Thank you.
And all points west.